Welcome to What in God's Name? She is Shana Appel.
And he's Chris Owen.
We're doing philosophical and theological reflections on current events and culture.
Getting us beyond the binary of the political and the economic, which so often clouds the broader conversations in the public square that need to be happening in this time and in all times.
Yes, indeed. You look at the news and we look at the news, but when you look at the news and when we look at the news, there is not theological reflection or philosophical reflection going on. How is God present or God absent in the news and in our culture? Or taking it out of God language, what is good, what is true, what is beautiful, or what is false, bad, and ugly?
In other words, where is the moral conversation? Where is the ethical conversation in the midst of all of
it? So that's what we bring. That's our niche as What in God's Name. We're taking the news and what's going on in the culture and asking those more fundamental questions. So today's show, Shana, we are reflecting on the events of the past week. The murder of George Floyd, and then just recently, our president on Monday coming out of the White House, coming across to have a photo op in front of St. John's Episcopal Church in Washington, D.C. That's the focus of our conversation today.
Yeah, the president using a church in America as a prop.
So we've got a lot of ground to cover, and let's get to it. What's going on in our culture, in our news, and in our political realm calls for lots of theological reflection today. You were talking to me just before we went on about prophetic preaching.
So I arrived here this morning at Chris's house where we record, and Chris was, as usual, sitting out on his front porch, and we sat down and we just, you know, started to talk, and I realized how difficult it is to actually put into meaningful and helpful words what's happening right now. And as a minister, I am constantly torn between balancing the prophetic and the pastoral. But I got to say right now, my prophetic ass is on fire. And I don't want to sound like Chicken Little, but the signs are everywhere that we are slipping, or we are at the cusp. We are at a critical turn in the road. And we're either going to turn towards fascism or we're going to turn towards freedom. I'm the queen of getting beyond the binary, but at this point, that is what's before us, and I don't know that there's a middle way.
So let me respond to that. I was listening to Albert Mohler this morning, Southern Baptist.
Some of our listeners will remember we have played clips from Al Mohler's show before. He's president of the Southern Baptist. He's president of a Southern Baptist college.
Yes, Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. His commentary about what happened in front of St. John's Church was pretty balanced, but he said using the word fascism is not helpful. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, I'm sorry it's not helpful for him. It's very clarifying for me, particularly when we start to unpack the word as we did last week, not just as a name that we hurl at someone, but as a deep and profound understanding of a body politic. As I said last week, fascism is less apolitic per se, right? I mean, if you look at the politics of various fascists throughout history, you know, they were going after different things. They didn't have a similar end game in mind beyond their own empowerment and the subjugation of anybody who gets in their way. And how they rule is very much about undermining the media, brutal military oppression, sowing fear. And I think if we don't call a shovel, I'm not sure we're doing ourselves any good. I don't think name calling is helpful, but as a way to understand the body politic, I think it's critical.
I don't want to derail you where you were going, but I think for our show, it is important to think about where is God's presence or God's absence in that definition fascism that you've given. Do you have a short answer to that, or?
It's antithetical. It's antithetical to absolutely everything that every world religion stands for. Every world religion has as its core a question: how shall we live together? Fascism is the antithesis of that. in that it is all about an individual and how shall I subjugate the world around me to my will.
Thank you. So I will try to put you back on the train you were on, which was you called yourself the queen of the non-binary, but you've painted this kind of stark moment of we're going one way or the other.
Yeah. We are seeing the fascists play out at every level, and we're seeing that against this backdrop of police brutality, the likes of which many folks our age and younger have not even seen in their lifetimes. I have to be honest with you. When I first saw the video of that cop leaning on Mr. Floyd's neck, I actually ran to the bathroom and threw up. And I'm a former firefighter paramedic. I have been on the scene of some horrific calls. I have seen things, I have smelled things that I will never, ever, ever forget. I'm pretty tough about that stuff, but that absolutely sent me over the edge. And apparently it sent, you know, a good deal of our nation over the edge as well. And I think, you know, what we're seeing now in these protests is it's putting the question in a very public way, right? I mean, it's playing out right here on the public stage. You have, you know, some officers who are taking a knee, dropping their batons, taking off their helmets and saying, you know, we want to walk with you. This is what we're here for. I know that. I work with cops across two different states, you know, as part of my role as a trauma specialist. But there are good cops and there are some real evil sons of bitches out there. And we're seeing that, right? I mean, I could tell you all about it, but I don't need to anymore because you're seeing it play out right there on your TV screen every night.
Lots of theological themes to pull out of what you've just said. One is the systemic racism in our country and how that's been characterized as America's original sin, which that phrase, original sin, puts in a theological context. Like there is a deep stain that is just imprinted on how our country has unfolded in history. So that's an observation.
You know, there was something that I wanted to say up front, which is that I think now for the majority of white people, now would be a really good time to take our opinions about how what is unfolding on the streets is unfolding. I think it would be a really good idea to just shelve those opinions. Take your opinion, take your privilege, take it all, put it on a shelf for the time being, and let's make a concerted effort to listen to the voices of Black leaders who are out there. And they're not all singing from the same hymnal. We can't expect that they would be. But there are some very prominent leaders out there who have some, you know, I think very insightful things to say about what's going on. And this is a time for us to learn. I mean, I am glad, I am thrilled to see white people out there in the streets protesting along their siblings of color. But what the hell took us so long? This is not new information. Somebody was marching with a sign and one of my parishioners sent me a picture of it. And on it is the list of, you know, all of these names. I mean, going back from Trayvon Martin, you know, which is where, you know, this wave began to get public attention, right? This person standing behind a sign with all the names of all the people who have died over really, I think, what, the last 4 years? And the sign is from head to toe. And these are the really public ones that we know about. So in the spirit of that theological original sin, like, you know, we got some hardcore repenting. God, if you ever wanted an image of the dehumanizing of a human being, it was that cop with his knee on George Floyd's neck. And thank God somebody got it on video. Because I think, you know, had Black people just shown up in court and said, this is what happened, like, nobody would have believed it, right? I mean, masses of people would have been like, that just didn't happen. There is no way a trained police officer did that. Oh, hell yeah, he did. And it's right there for all of us to see. Sorry, I'm going on, but I'm wound up this morning.
I love it. Shane, I wanted to share with our listeners what I shared with you before we started rolling today, which is I've been limiting myself to an hour of news as an act of self-preservation, 1 hour of news per day. And so I wasn't really tuned in to what the president had done in terms of walking across the park and in front of the church until until last night, and I looked at it more deeply last night, and when I saw the picture of our president holding the Bible as a prop in front of a church that was a prop, I got sick to my stomach. It had a physical, visceral reaction to me. And just trying to think of the theology of this, where is God in this? What is, or where is God absent? And Shana, I was thinking about power and authority. This Bible in the Christian faith, for those of us following that path, this is the Word of God. It has authority to us. It is the higher authority. And the irony to me of this photo op is here is our president using what should be a higher authority to bolster his own authority. That's how I interpreted that photo op. And again, this is a perversion, and I use the word deliberately. It's a perversion of what is higher and what is lower.
Yeah. Did you happen to hear in your short journey into the dark, dark realm of news to this time, did you happen to catch Episcopal Bishop Marianne Edgar Buddy?
I did. I thought she was magnificent.
She was magnificent. And, you know, I think her point was so well made because the newscaster asked her, you know, well, there was an Episcopal minister who said, you know, our churches are, you know, all are welcome. You know, we think it's wonderful that Donald Trump came to church. And her response was basically like, yeah, if he had come to church to pray, to worship, that would have been one thing. But what he did was unleash the hounds of hell upon a group of peaceful protesters and then put himself before our Lord and Savior, not to offer prayer, not to offer comfort, not to offer anything, but to use it as a fascist will for his own betterment. And damn, let him eat cake. Let the rest of us eat cake.
I had another similar reflection on this time that we've had in the last week. At one point, Barack Obama said or tweeted, vote. Like, this is his coaching of a response to this time. And I thought about that from a theological point of view. My reflection is, yes, like, yes, and that's not enough. And to elaborate on that, Shana, and this is really a foundation of what in God's name, which is to say, what ails us as a culture and a society is deeper than our politics. Like, if anyone is under the impression that simply changing the president and the Senate, if anyone is under the impression that that will make everything better, that's not going deep enough. One of our core values is go deep. And I frame the deeper as theological, but certainly moral. There is a moral crisis.
And I think what you're getting at, Chris, is the difference between change and transformation. We can change the players in the House. We can change the players at the executive branch. But if we don't transform our system, if we don't transform our hearts, if we don't transform our systems, if we don't transform the way we function, then the change ain't going to take. And I think for our listeners, you know, the fundamental difference between change and transformation. Change is, I have an ice cube. I take the ice cube tray out of the refrigerator. The ice cubes melt. Now I have a tray filled with water. So I've changed, right? The ice cubes into a tray filled of water. I can put that tray back into the freezer and they will freeze again and I will have ice cubes. That's change, okay? But you take a match and you strike the head of the match. You have created a chemical reaction which produces transformation. And after you have transformed the head of that match, guess what? It doesn't work again. You can't. So what we need right now in this time is that profound fundamental theologic, that deep moral change that will disable the head of that match from lighting on fire again.
Yeah, and I think that has to do with how we care for one another.
I think
it has to do with, therefore, the soul of America. We're really talking about what is the soul of who we are as a people. And because it touches the question of how we are to care for one another, it has to do with fear. Letting go of fear.
It also has to do, Chris, with when we start to ask questions about, you know, who we are as a nation, we have got to be really mindful of all that needs to be decentered in order to get at the truth of that, because for too long, there has been a narrative about what it means to be an American. And that narrative has not included a whole lot of people. So, you know, we need to start listening to their narrative, which I believe will be as stunningly heartbreaking as that image of that cop with his knee on George Floyd's neck. And I believe that heart-wrenching narrative, to really hear another's pain, to hear another's experience, has the capacity, certainly not going to work for everybody, but it has the capacity to create that transformation. Like, you know, once you know that experience, you get, this is what Kathleen said, once you partner with people, right, you can't not fight for justice. You can't. Transformation.
That is the way to transformation. And as you say, it's not inevitable, but when we are able to open ourselves up and be vulnerable, to feel the anguish of the ages, I mean, this is our history that has the potential to be transformative, because it opens us up to compassion in a deeper way, potentially.
And we've been open to compassion before. I mean, certainly Martin Luther King, that was the direction he was asking us to go, to go deep into compassion and try to expand our compassion for one another so that we could live more powerfully together.
I'm glad that you brought up Marianne Buddy. I just wanted to comment that, make the observation that in the coverage of the past week, I've been heartened by the mainstream media actually talking to religious people, religious Christians who are not Jerry Falwell, Franklin Graham, Robert Jeffress, these Christian, American Christian grotesques that we usually get, that we actually have some serious,
yes,
Christian theology being,
yep,
presented in the mainstream media.
That, yep,
not a topic for deep conversation, but it was something that I noticed that I was glad to see.
Well, it's one of those little tears in the fabric that gives me hope. The day after Mr. Floyd's murder, when I heard police chiefs around the country, because I've gone around the corner where the number of police union heads, every time a cop does something patently and obviously unjust and horrible, you morons get out there and defend them because it's the blue line and we've got to stand for one another. And when you do that, you're putting good cops in jeopardy. That's the problem, because you make all of you look like morons. You look like idiots. You look like people who cannot see, do not know, and do not care. And you cannot keep doing it. Well, sure enough, the cop who killed Mr. Floyd's union came out and said, well, we just don't want anybody to jump to conclusions. No, let's wait for a full investigation, because justice apparently is deaf, dumb, and blind, and nobody saw or heard what we saw or heard on TV. Like, this requires an investigation. Like, so the next morning when I heard police chiefs coming out and saying things like, if you got a badge and you don't have a problem with this, you need to turn that badge in. There was a resounding call from police chiefs themselves for justice. And then the ones who were, you know, probably quietly supporting the officer at least had the smarts to keep their mouth shut. But honestly, I thought, not a religious response to Trump's little circus demonstration there, whatever that was, in front of the church. Jimmy Kimmel on late night TV played a clip of, you know, Trump standing there holding a Bible like, I don't know, you or I might hold a large python. I mean, he just didn't know how to hold it or which way. Like, he was holding it like you or I might hold a python. And one of the reporters in the pool asked him, is that your Bible, Mr. Trump? And he looks at them, you know, with that really nasty face of his. And he says, it's a Bible. So Jimmy Kimmel plays that clip and he says, right into the camera, he says, excuse me for a moment. He takes off his headset. He walks off the camera and you can just hear him scream. And then he comes back. And I had a really good laugh on that. Thank you, Jimmy Kimmel. I needed that. So there was something that I wanted to get to here, and only because I think now is a time for white people to put our opinions on a shelf for a minute and center the voices of black leadership. Cornel West, obviously Dr. West, is well known to many people as a leading voice in black politics, but, you know, I love him for the show because he's also a philosopher, right? And one of the real hot issues right now on the table, and which I've heard a lot of white people weigh in on, is whether or not the violence is justified, whether or not it actually helps black people. And so I just want to offer our listeners just a snippet from Dr. Cornel West, because, you know, when you're sitting there wondering, what can I do to make a difference? Well, you could take this snippet and you could introduce this into any conversation. You can encourage people to maybe move their opinions out of the center and allow some black opinions to come in. Host Chris Wallace asked West, this is Fox News, I love this, do you think that we're seeing in the streets riots, violence, looting in African-American neighborhoods, do you think that's doing any good for African-Americans? And Dr. West responded, no. And then he added, most of my fellow citizens who are in the streets are peaceful. And when it does spill over into violence, looting is wrong, but legalized looting is wrong too. Murder is wrong. Legalized murder is wrong too. West explained that the concern is that we all have individual responsibility, but we're living in a system that seems to be unable to reform itself. And when you have such a moment, you get violence spillover. And I think it echoes something that Dr. King said so very long ago, that a riot is the voice of the unheard.
We will let Dr. Cornel West and the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King have the final word.
Amen.
Be curious, Shana.
Go deep, Chris.
And shine light. You can find us on our Facebook page at What in Gods. You can find us on our website, whatingods.com.
WHATINGODS.
This show is brought to you by our generous donors on Patreon, and also by our generous donors through our fiscal sponsor, Filmmakers Collaborative. Shana, great to see you.
Always good to see you, Chris. God bless.